You may be seated. As is apparent to everyone this morning, we're in a temporary courtroom until we get our new courtroom downstairs, the ceiling refinished, and so we're up here for today. The first matter before the court is in the matter of the consideration of the application of Aaron Wayne Davis for admission to the bar without examination. Mr. Davis is present, and Carolyn Surska is here on behalf of the Board of Bar Examiners present. Mr. Davis, you're here without counsel this morning, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is a little bit unique in that we don't have briefs and specific legal issues we're taking up. This is the court's consideration of the Board of Bar Examiners recommendation for the admission of Mr. Davis following a hearing, a character and fitness hearing. That recommendation was made on a 3-2 vote by the board. So, Mr. Davis, basically what we're asking you to do today is just tell us anything you want us to know about your application, anything about the character and fitness issues that have come up either on this application or the prior application, and the court members may have questions for you. You'll have 15 minutes initially. You can take that whole amount, or you don't need to. Ms. Surska, you'll have then 10 minutes or anything you want to say, and then Mr. Davis, you'll have 5 minutes at the end if you have anything else you want to say. With that, then, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court.
Counsel.
My name is Aaron Wayne Davis, and I am 47 years old. I'm the husband of Melissa Davis, who is with me today. And together we have two young children, a 2-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son. Our life is our family. For the past 3.5 years, we have lived in the mountainous countryside outside of Custer, South Dakota. My family and I love this state, and we plan to live here indefinitely, hopefully for the rest of our lives. I've been an attorney for over 18 years, since August of 2002. I have a spotless disciplinary history throughout my entire career, and I have always respected the rights of others. To that end, I am currently admitted in good standing to 10 bars around the country, including the Minnesota United States Supreme Court and 5 appellate courts. I have also been admitted pro hoc vice over 24 times to courts around the country, including the District of South Dakota, and I have never been the subject of any discipline from any of those courts. I've had the privilege of representing clients in well over 100 litigated matters in federal and state courts throughout the country, and many more disputes and negotiations that never made it into litigation. And in all that time, I have no practice-related complaints or discipline ever. The only complaint I've had was generally related to the subject of a City Pages article that was published in August of 2017. The complaint was made by a Minneapolis attorney who I'd never met nor even heard of before. I'd never worked with him on any case and had no previous contact with him. That complaint was promptly dismissed by the Minnesota Board of Law Examiners shortly after it was made, stating that no laws or any ethical rules had been broken. I believe it important to note that my involvement in many hundreds, if not thousands, of disputes, negotiations, and other legal matters of my career have undoubtedly involved well in excess of 1,000 clients, witnesses, jurors, judges, law clerks, court staff, court reporters, co-workers, and other persons related to those matters. And given that fact, I think it is striking that since that article came out, no complaint, not even one, was made by any person, any opponent, anybody who I'd ever had contact with in either my personal life or my professional life, accusing me of abusing the legal system to do any harm to any person for any reason, or in otherwise disrespecting the rights of others. As we have seen from the accusations made against people in the media, they are often followed by a flood of individual complaints against that accused by people who have had potentially direct contact with them, and then they make accusations of their own, sort of, you know, this issue comes out and people come out and say it happened to me, or this is what my story is. That did not happen in my case, either before the article came out or after the article came out. This complete lack of complaints did not just show an absence of bad character on my part. It shows an entire career of good character and treating people with respect, even though I'm in litigation, and sometimes those matters involved are heavily litigated by both sides. I have never disrespected anyone's rights throughout the course of any of those proceedings, and that's evidenced by the fact that I've never received any complaints. I prided myself on not engaging in such conduct and have done my best to maintain the dignity and respect of the legal profession. After 18 plus active years of practice, much of it involving, like I said, vigorously litigated matters, the complete absence of any complaints by anyone who has had any contact with me professionally or personally alone proves my character and fitness to practice law in the state of South Dakota. Further to my character, I have been continuously sober for over 21 years. As seen in my application, when I was young, I made a lot of bad mistakes with respect to drinking or around that sort of conduct, and I took steps to remedy that and have continued those steps throughout my entire life. I've sponsored many men over the course of that time in sobriety, including recently a regular Army officer who got sober in 2020 during the pandemic. He was a friend that I had or not spoken to in over 15 years. He asked me to sponsor him because he trusted me, even though we hadn't had any interaction in many years, and he respected my long-term continuous sobriety. I have kept in regular contact with him and many others in sobriety for whom I've known, many of whom I've known for over 15 years. I feel it is my duty to assist others in improving their lives through sobriety if that is an issue for them and they desire help. Also, to the subject of my good character and dedication to respecting and furthering the rights of others, I've had the privilege of representing pro bono dozens of minority artists, nonprofits, including the Minnesota Music Academy, a nonprofit called Roots for the Home Team in Minnesota, and the Lake Harriet United Methodist Church Board of Trustees, many private businesses, and other persons in need throughout my career, continuing to this very day. The total amount of pro bono time donated by me in my career is over 1,000 hours. I do so to help all people protect their talents and rights and to give back, as I have so generously been helped and mentored throughout my life. I have taken a great interest in the artist community because, as a whole, they have inspired and brought much joy in my life, those in my family, and I believe to the world, and also because artists are often naive about their legal rights and are taken advantage of. I've done my best to level the playing field for those artists in whatever ways I can to help them protect and earn money from their talents. Throughout my career, I have donated at least half of my time to minority artists, as they are often in the most need. Indeed, I still represent minority artists that I represented before the City Pages article came out. One such person is an African-American artist, a female named Jamila, who I had worked with for many years. Recently, I also began representing her fiancé as well, an African-American graphic artist, and seeking collection of unpaid money related to his graphic design business. In fact, we just worked on that matter last week. They are fully aware of the City Pages article allegations, but they know and trust me, with Jamila having worked with me for many years. To this day, I continue to provide pro bono legal help to those who need the protection of their legal interest, no matter the color, creed, or religion of any person. That is what I've always done, and I will continue to do so. I consider it part of being a member of the bar and a member of the human community. And with respect to sale of what would easily be called controversial or offending music, that is the subject of that City Pages article, I deeply regret that. I think it was mischaracterized in the article. I had sold, from my personal collection, many thousands of musical pieces of merchandise, music, and that article focused on about a dozen of those things. I'm not minimizing the fact that those things were offensive, and I regret even selling them, but I think it didn't put into context everything else, taking in as a whole, that most of the things that I sold were not that. And there are things readily available anywhere. In fact, everything I sold is readily available anywhere on the internet. And I certainly didn't do it as part of my legal practice. And none of the music, basically, that I sold necessarily avowed any of my personal beliefs. Certainly not the stuff that was controversial. And I regret primarily for selling because it has undercut my life's mission, particularly as a lawyer, to help all people in need. And I've shown that over the course of decades by helping people in sobriety, helping people on a pro bono basis in my work, and I've represented him on a paying basis every conceivable color, creed, religion of every person that's out there. And to the extent that that has undermined any trust in me, I take full responsibility for that, and I regret that. However, any allegation which exists, only in an article written by people who have never met me, which is what that article was, that I am a racist or a bigot, is belied by my years of work with on behalf of all persons. As yet another example, my current client, my largest client, and his general counsel, who engaged me over a year ago, after this court's denial of my application last time, those gentlemen are Jewish. At the outset of our relationship, I had fully informed them of the City Pages article. I even provided them a copy. We discussed it. I talked about my separation from my previous firm. And they believed in me then, and they gave me a chance, and they still do. I'm still representing them to this day. We have a great working and personal relationship, and we talk daily. They're a very active client. I represent them in federal court and in arbitration in matters of intellectual property, insurance, and other commercial litigation throughout the United States. Indeed, just a few weeks ago, I was admitted to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where I'll be representing this client, and I have copies of the recently approved application. If the court and counsel would like a copy of that, and I can certainly provide that after my remarks. I haven't yet received my certificate yet, but I have received a approved application. This client was also extremely generous and supportive of me when I took a few weeks off last fall to receive the gift of a living donor kidney transplant. That entire process involved years of discipline, dedication to meeting the requirements and exceeding the requirements to get a transplant. They don't just give out those kidneys to anybody because they want to make sure that people are going to respect the gift and they are going to take care of it. And so I went to dialysis 3 times a week, driving from Custer to Rapid City early in the morning, and did that for 3.5 years. I'm eternally grateful for that gift. I certainly don't think that that alone entitles me to a law license in South Dakota, but it goes to my character to be able to stick to the dedication of something like that and do something for the greater good, which is that of my family. I have 2 young children, and I want to make sure that I'm there for them as fully and healthy as I can be for as long as I can. I also have litigated in South Dakota before, under ProPoc BJ basis, as I stated, and I have represented a number of parties in a two-week trial in front of Judge Viken, and that case involved a number of court appearances, and I always had a very good working relationship with them. But as I stated at the outset of my remarks, the most important priority in my life, again, is my family. For over the past 2 years, my wife's sister, Alexis, has lived with us outside of Custer. We are supplying her room and board in our home while she attends nursing school. We are a very tight-knit group. My mother-in-law, who has recently been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, is also moving to Custer to be closer to us, and she'll be moving here within the next month with our assistance.
Mr. Davis, you have about 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Could I ask a question?
Certainly.
Thanks for being here. I'm glad you're, it's good to read that you're feeling better.
Thank you.
As I read, of course, the cold records, that's all we've had from
sure.
the first proceeding, from the second proceeding.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't help but think, and maybe you've touched on it a little bit this morning, that what I saw on the second proceeding, the one that really is in front of us now, was a little bit more reflective attitude. Was there some cause for introspection, perhaps after your initial application was denied? And can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Even before it was denied, I mean, when the whole thing came out, I'd actually stopped selling anything for some months before the article came out. So it wasn't just, you know, the article came out and that forced me to stop. I actually stopped doing it before that, but the article came out anyway. But first of all, it ate up a tremendous amount of my time, which I thought was not the best use of my time as a person and wanted to be a family man and all. But more important, kind of what I touched on a little bit before, was I have worked with minority artists and all artists, not just minority artists, but I've worked with many people throughout my entire career. And it really made me reflect upon the fact that I don't want to do anything in my personal life that would ever undermine what I've done in my professional life. And it certainly doesn't reflect my personal beliefs. My family and my wife are Hispanic and Hawaiian, which in part is my kids are. So I just that whole dichotomy is I didn't want to do anything that would hurt them or hurt anybody else. No one's come forward and said that it did, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't, that I should continue to go in that conduct. And I haven't since 2000.
Your time is up, Mr. Davis.
Okay, thank you.
If you want to submit that Sixth Circuit
yes.
application, you can talk to Ms. Cerska after the hearing, and if she doesn't have any objection, you can submit it to the clerk.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cerska, you have 10 minutes. You may proceed on behalf of the board.
May it please the court, Mr. Davis. To provide a procedural background, as Mr. Davis said, he has been a member of the State Bar of Minnesota in good standing since 2002. Mr. Davis requested admission without examination to practice law in the state of South Dakota in 2018. The Board of Bar Examiners, hereinafter referred to as the Board, determined that Davis's application did not, by itself, meet his burden to prove by clear and convincing evidence that he possessed the good moral character necessary for the admission to the South Dakota Bar. The Board held a due process hearing in November of 2018 in the matter of Mr. Davis's licensure pursuant to SDCL 16-16-15. All of the members of the board appeared at and participated in these hearings. The board heard testimony from Mr. Davis, along with others testifying on his behalf. In January of 2019, the board issued findings of fact and conclusions of law, with a majority finding that while Mr. Davis had lacked full candor at times in the application process and in his personal history, the board concluded that he had been candid and truthful on balance. The majority of the board recommended Davis to be admitted to the practice of law, finding that Davis established that he had the requisite good moral character to practice law in South Dakota. One board member dissented. That recommendation was rejected by this court in February of 2019, citing that the court found Mr. Davis failed to sufficiently prove by clear and convincing evidence that he was of good moral character, in the qualities of honesty, candor, and respect for the rights of others. In 2019, Mr. Davis requested that the court reconsider its decision to reject the board's recommendation, to which the court denied. Mr. Davis again applied for admission without examination to practice law in April of 2020. A due process hearing on his licensure was held in front of the board on November 11th of 2020. All of the board appeared either in person or via video conference and listened to Mr. Davis's testimony regarding updates since his last hearing, and Mr. Davis answered any additional questions the board had. The majority of the board thereafter, having reviewed the testimony of Mr. Davis with careful and diligent consideration of the court's concerns, entered into findings of fact and conclusions of law, finding that Mr. Davis ensured full disclosure of all information requested by the board and addressed the court's concerns. The majority of the board found that Mr. Davis had a clear professional record of honesty, diligence, reliability, observation of fiduciary and financial responsibility, and respect for the rights of others and the judicial process. The majority of the board concluded that Mr. Davis satisfies the character and fitness requirement to practice law in South Dakota and has established by clear and convincing evidence. The dissenting member from the previous application maintained position to recommend denial, along with the additional finding that Mr. Davis failed to establish by clear and convincing evidence proof of rehabilitation regarding the concerns of honesty, candor, and respect for the rights of others from the time of the court's denial in 2019 to the entry of the findings of fact in March of 2021. A second board member joined as dissent regarding the opinion that Mr. Davis had not established proof of rehabilitation. A special concurrence from the majority of the board members, however, disagreed with the dissenting members and held the position that Mr. Davis had increased honesty and that there was not evidence that he showed a lack of respect for the rights of others, nor did he lack candor with the board. Therefore, based on the following, the majority of the board recommends that Mr. Davis be admitted to the practice of law. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Serska? Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Davison, you have 5 minutes if you want to add anything else.
Thank you. Again, I want to reiterate that I greatly regret the fact that I put myself into this position by selling merchandise, however small of amount as it was, and not taking a closer look at that before it was sold. It's obviously created an issue for me in my professional life and personal life. I'll say this, I haven't lost any friends over it. I haven't lost any clients over it because they know me as a person. And the fact that I put them in a position where they even had to doubt me, I do regret that. And I haven't, for that reason and many others, I haven't engaged in the selling of any music, let alone any that could be considered controversial, since 2017. And I certainly am never going to do that again, because it's undermining to not only me, but it could be to the legal profession, and I don't want any part of that. I've worked too hard, and too many other people have worked too hard to maintain the integrity of not only the legal profession, but people as a whole. And I don't even want to be associated with anything like that. In the meantime, I have informed all clients who I would work with on any basis about this issue, because I want them to go into any relationship with me to represent them with their eyes wide open as to any issue that could possibly come up. People haven't, I can say this, opposing counsels have not, made this some sort of issue in the case. But I don't want surprises from my clients so that they know up front that this is an issue that's out there, and I want to address it with them and any concerns that they might have. And then I want to also reiterate that, although there were many allegations made in that article, I think my history of the practice and not engaging in any of that kind of conduct, even in my personal life, no one's came out and said I personally attacked them or personally did anything to any person for any reason, whether on racial lines or religious lines. I do believe that people art is a complex thing, that people often have in their art things that are very positive, that are negative. There are many, many different emotions that come out in art, and I think that that's part of human nature and something to be, you know, I think that's one of the great parts of our country and the world is art that allows people to express whatever emotions they have. That said, it doesn't mean that I want to necessarily be a part of, in whatever way, you know, anything that could be characterized as promoting very controversial or negative type subject matter. I've certainly learned my lesson on that, and I'm just avoiding that, you know, altogether. I don't even want to get into judgment calls on music and things like that. I have two kids, a wife, an active practice. You know, I think if people followed me around on a daily basis, you know, I'm not burning crosses and going to, you know, rallies and things like that. I'm living a very, and I never have done anything like that. I live a very family-oriented life, and that's the way I'd like to keep it. And I consider the, you know, possibility of being a member of the South Dakota Bar to be a high honor. And you know, I believe with my, because of my dedication to my family, which just happens to be mixed race, my 18-plus years of zero practice-related complaints, and the countless hours I have dedicated to assisting those of all races, religions, and creeds, both in my professional and personal life, I believe I have shown by clear and convincing evidence that I am of good character and fitness required to practice law in this state. If there's any other questions by the justices, I'd be happy to take them.
Excuse me, yes. I have a question for you. Are you still engaged in promoting concerts in any fashion at this point?
No, and I have not since prior to the article coming out in 2017.
And the same question with reference to selling merchandise like T-shirts, not just music, but that's a...
Nothing at all. Nothing since 2017 prior to the article. I have had nothing to do with that.
Thank you.
The website that is referenced, the online presence, it could be a Facebook or whatever it is. I read that was inactive. Maybe I'm just not technical enough to know what that really means, other than no one's using it. But maybe it means it's something else.
I don't think there's any website. I think they took it off. I certainly haven't seen it since 2017. I just, you know, took it down. I don't think there's anything else out there.
Well,
certainly,
anything
out of control.
Yeah, it said inactive, so I didn't know if that was just sort of it just kind of was left sort of out there, mothballed, or it was actually taken down, as you say.
Yeah, it was taken down by me. I can't know whether everything on the internet that ever existed is out there, but everything that I potentially even controlled in any way, I took down in 2017. Thank you.
What type of practice will you engage in South Dakota?
Actually, I've had a number of people around town, just as I've met socially. I haven't, solicited any business, but, you know, through social interactions. People I've known, one gentleman owns a title company, and he's very interested in hiring me to help him with real estate matters and other related type of matters, other commercial type issues, you know, commercial disputes or even negotiations and contracts. There's another gentleman who is actually an attorney in town. He just does transactional work, and he's looking for somebody to kind of pair up with in case something gets into a dispute. So I'd like to keep much of my practice in the Custer area. That's part of the reason we moved out there. Not only did we know people in that area, and still do, but we wanted to kind of have more of a small-town practice and assist people locally, not only on a paying basis, but in pro bono. I know that that area in particular is in need of additional legal help, and I'm certainly wanting to do that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Thank you.
The court will take the matter under advisement.
Great.